Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Apostle Crystal Lee, and I've got my Apostle sister on the phone, Apostle Jasmine Blair, and we're going to do some damage on this subject tonight, sex and context. Of course, we're still in our series about that life, and we probably will be there for some time, because it's a really good, I think that's a really good series. What do you think, Apostle Blair?
God bless you, Apostle. I think that this is definitely a good series. We've definitely gone over a lot of things, just from relationships.
Yes.
To children, to marriages, to men, to women, to the culture, and so much more. So this has truly been a series to give everybody a big overview of everything that's included when you're about that life.
Absolutely. And that life that we're talking about is not guns, it's not violence, it's not all of that. It's a family life. So many people say they are about the life, but they don't really know what the life is about, because we're not really getting this kind of teaching over pulpits across America. So many times, this is why we make the mistakes that we make. And I'm so thankful that God's not shocked by any of the moves that we make and any of the things that we do. And he's got a plan for all of the things that have already happened concerning our lives. I love it because he has some thoughts about us, and he's actually very mindful, meaning his mind is full of thoughts about us. And all of those thoughts are of good and not of evil, to give us an end. One of the translations says an expected end, but it's favorable outcomes. That's the whole point of that. You know, his whole point in dealing with us is to make sure that we have favorable outcomes. So the word of the Lord says this, that it's going to all work together for your good if you love him and if you are be called according to his purpose. See, that's the key there. You got to love him and you got to be called according to his purpose, because when you start recognizing that you're called according to his purpose, and you can stop the program that you're on and recognize that there's a better program with better benefits and better outcomes. Amen, Apostle?
And you're so true. The reality is we're trying to do too much stuff according to our purposes and not his purpose. You know, so we got to stop editing God out and really submit ourselves all the way in every area to his purposes if we're going to be about that life.
Absolutely. And I love the word of the Lord. I know I say this verse all of the time, and I just think that it's just an amazing verse because it's a key verse for life. The Bible declares that the whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. I promise you, if we could just get that part together, we'd be way ahead of the curve, but we don't learn that kind of stuff. We learn you could be whatever you want to be, from school to the church house. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do all things through Christ, but the through Christ is what they don't explain. It makes you feel like you can do anything you want to do as long as you add him to it, but that's not how it works. It says, listen, that you're going to need to not rely on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, you're going to need to acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path. That doesn't mean after you begin a thing, then all of a sudden you want to throw him in it. No, it means to acknowledge him. You know, when you acknowledge somebody, when you go in a room, somebody that's of higher stature, you're giving them the honor that they're due. You're giving them the credit that they're due. You're taking time out of what you're doing to acknowledge them, to recognize them. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to recognize, and in recognizing him, giving him the attention that he's asking you for, he's going to give your situation the attention that you're asking for by directing your path and saying, you know what, that's not a good place to go. You know what, just come over to this left side a little bit and stay in the left lane. Don't veer over to the right at all. Just go straight. Keep your eyes straight. Don't look to the left or to the right. He's going to give you full instructions on the dynamics that you need to carry out so that you'll have a successful life. And I just love him today. You know, when we talk about sex and context, Apostle, we're dealing with people that understand the context of what that's supposed to be. People look at sex as a very negative thing. I know growing up, it was thought of as a very negative thing because all I ever heard was don't have sex. You know what I'm
saying?
Or are you having sex? You know, those are the two phrases. don't have sex, and are you having sex? Those were the things I heard. So it came across as if it might have been a negative thing. However, when God created it, it was an amazing thing. It's never been a negative thing. However, we take this positive creation of God and we make it a negative in our lives by the people that we connect to. You know, I was thinking about something as I was walking through the kitchen. I heard the Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit, bring it back to my mind. I meant to write it down, but I was walking into the kitchen and walking away from my phone. He said something about what you connect with, what you breed with. Oh, I can't think of it. It's going to come back to me before we get off the line. But the whole point of what he was saying was you're going to breed what you connect to. And a lot of people don't think about that. You know what I'm saying? What you give time to, what you connect with intimately, you're going to bring forth out of that relationship something that is a collaboration of the two of you. I don't think a lot of people think about that before they make that connection. My mother used to tell me this all the time when I was younger, and it was very good advice. It was very amazing advice. However, I didn't have the full counsel of it. If you don't feel like you can be with this person for the rest of your life, leave them alone. That's
exactly
good advice. It's just incomplete advice, because at that age, you think you could be with everybody for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Right. You think everybody's the one. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, you know, it's good advice. As in a mature state, you can understand that. But in a less mature state, it doesn't make as much sense. Apostle?
And that's very true what you said right there. And I think that that is a greater teaching that needs to start happening in the home, in the church. You know, what do we do with these young people who feel like everybody is the one? You know, when you're at that age, somewhere between 14 and 17, 18, you know, like you said, it's incomplete because you're immature. Your emotions are all over the place. You're just really experiencing your hormones and learning how to control them. So we definitely have to have more teaching on that and more understanding, because are you doing it and don't do it doesn't tell them what to do when they feel like everyone is the one. So we definitely
when they feel like
got
that.
To have
right.
exactly. We definitely got to have more teaching for that. And there's definitely got to be more discipline and more seeking of the Holy Spirit on that. You know, because even if
Absolutely.
People go, oh yeah, they're the one and this, that and the third, but you're going off of what you think and what you feel, you're not really judging that based on what God sees. You know, and let's be honest, most people that are even quote unquote about that life, they're not even seeking God and consulting God before they jump into these situations. You know, because even
That's
in
for
a
sure.
marriage, even in a right context, you can mess around, like you said, and give life to some unfortunate things, some negative things, because you're breeding with that individual. And see,
Absolutely.
That's the problem. And,
it's a real
and
place.
I want to say
it's a real
this
place.
While it's on my mind. One thing that I've noticed is we've encountered some people who've had bad marriages, and the whole reason why they got married was because they got tired of the conviction from having sex. You know, well,
Absolutely.
You know, we was
so
together.
They thought that was a solution.
You know, we exactly. You know what? Every person I've ever encountered that marriage started on the foundation of fornication. Either that marriage is over, or you've got one or both
or
parties
struggling.
That are extremely miserable.
Absolutely.
Because
and
a lot of people
don't see it that
context.
Way, but that's a real plague. That's right.
Yes, it is.
Because they didn't respect the context, then now they don't understand context. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to learn. Context is a discipline. You know, it's like when you're training a child when to speak and when not to speak, what to say and what not to say. That's a learned discipline. And there are a lot of adults that have not learned the discipline of context. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes, and we went over this verse last week. For everything, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to use the A part of that verse again. Here's the thing. If there is a season to everything, and then it begins to describe the things that it's a season for, you need to get this because this is in context. You need to understand that it gives you examples of what things in its proper context has a season. And if you realize that, just like there are seasons for certain things, there are some things that absolutely have no season ever in life. You understand what I'm saying? But when you look at the Word of God as something that you're using to justify yourself, then you will even take this verse and say, there's a season for this. No, there are some things that have absolutely no season at all. Let's look at Joseph and Potiphar's wife. There was never a season for that. That's somebody else's wife. You're here to do a specific thing. You've been given charge of everything but his wife. And he had a context. He had an anointing for context. Do you hear me? Because he could have taken advantage of that situation and done whatever he wanted to do and probably got away with it. But the man was honorable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was honorable. And see, it takes honor to keep things in context. It takes a certain level of honor to understand context and to carry it out. Now, I'm not saying you won't have feelings. You won't have emotions. We all have that. We all have attractions, all of that. But if we focus on the fact that God desires us to keep things in context, I'm going to give you another verse. I'm going to say this because I just thought it was funny, because when I wrote it down in the notes, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I thought it was funny because the Bible declares that thou shalt not covet your neighbor's ox nor his ass. I'm just saying. So if you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's ox nor his ass or anything that pertains to your neighbor's, if you are dealing with something that you don't know whether it belongs to you or not, it possibly belongs to somebody else in the future. That's a really serious plight. But people don't look at it like that, Apostle. They don't see it like that. You could be fooling around with somebody today and just thinking, oh, we're just fooling around. We're just having fun. Sir, ma'am, that's somebody else's mate.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? And that's a serious place to be, because in the future, somebody else is going to be married to them. And now you've contaminated their environment with who you are. Just because you wanted to have a little fun. Just because you just wanted to touch things that you hadn't even made any claim to it. That's what's messed up. People want to do this thing out of the context. They don't even want to lay claim to it. They don't even want to make any commitment. No covenant. Let's just have some fun. Let's just do this thing. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be. Can I tell you something? I'm going to say this to the women tonight because I've got mantras. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit just keeps giving me these mantras. You know, in the leather season, and it still lives, my mantra was talk to my daddy, and it's still that. And people are, you know, still having to follow that chain of command, okay? Not an issue. But now my new mantra is when you're concerned about my security, when my security becomes a priority for you, then your pleasure becomes a priority for me. Because outside of that context, we don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Women and men are wired differently. And so I'm not mad at men because they want sex. They're wired that way.
Yep.
But even though you're wired that way, you have to bring this thing in context and understand that there are some boundaries that God has set. Same thing for women when we're talking about security. We have to realize that there are some boundaries that God has set, and we have to remain in those boundaries in order to be blessed. We can't just allow everybody to make us secure.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
We can't just allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to make us secure so that we can feel, you know, that we're safe and everything and then turn over all our goods, you know. It just can't happen that way. Go ahead, Apostle. I need a break because I'm all on the borderline of saying stuff.
And, you know, that's so true. You know, and, you know, talking to the women while we addressing the men. You know, yeah, men are wired that way. That's not a wrong thing.
Wired.
The Bible says that
wrong.
Adam saw Eve. He didn't have a conversation.
Yes.
He saw Eve and said, oh, this is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone.
Oh, he claimed her. He claimed her.
What does that mean? So even when you're in a marriage, because, you know, some people think they married, so whatever, you still have to keep yourself up. You still have to have
you still gotta maintain
a visual appearance. Because men are visual, because he saw Eve and knew. So you've got keep yourself up, because in context, it is not wrong for you to, let me help somebody real quick, Apostle. In context,
help him.
It's not wrong for you to dress sexy for your spouse.
For your husband. Come on.
We got too many people, well, you know, I'm a woman of God and I'm holy. Now, sexy don't mean you have to be half naked, though. I mean, let's put that in context.
No, it doesn't. Contact,
but
absolutely.
You shouldn't just walk around in tights and T-shirts all day either. Can you actually put on something that's elegant? Can you put on something that shows your beauty, something that for him to see, like Adam saw?
Absolutely.
Can you do that?
She didn't have on.
Because,
and can I tell you something? Most men, they really don't want nothing on you. Okay, that was just a heads up. You know what I'm saying?
That's
there's nothing
true.
Wrong with the sexy attire. There's nothing wrong with that. It's appetizing.
Right.
It gives them something to do. It's like giving a puppy a bone. And I'm not saying that men are dogs. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying you know, it doesn't have to have the meat on it right now because they've already eaten, so now they just want something to look at, something to play with, something to, you know, that just kind of gives them some entertainment. That's what the lingerie
is. It does.
It's for entertainment.
Exactly.
Okay? But some men will flat out tell you, just be at the door without nothing on, you know?
Yes,
you
they
know,
will.
Just be guilty of no clothes up under a jacket or a coat or something and meet me at the door. You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand the context of everything. You know, you got to understand the context. Out of context, I said this last week, make sure you have to go back to square one, which is what the apostle was saying. Apostle Jasmine just said, the people that she knows that did things out of context, their marriages are either suffering right now, they're miserable, or they're divorced already.
Yep.
That's just how it is. And everybody wants to be married. There's nothing wrong with that either, Apostle. Nothing wrong with wanting to be
right.
married. We had visions when we were little girls. We planned our wedding, all that.
Yes.
That was a seed. That was a part of who we were made to be. There's nothing wrong
yes.
with that. But the training is necessary to understand all of the concepts so we can keep all of those principles and those concepts in context. And it begins with your identity. Because when you don't know who you are, and a lot of that's a problem because a lot of people have broken homes. They don't know who their fathers are. They didn't grow up in two-parent homes, or they grew up in a home where their stepfather was there, but they were mistreated or treated lesser than. It's just all kinds of circumstances that create these environments where women are susceptible or men are susceptible to making bad decisions when it comes to relationships.
Right.
Because you're looking for something. But that's why the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments, because if your relationship with him is right, then you're going to make the right decisions when it comes to other people, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's personal. They're going to be right decisions because you're going to seek him first before you do anything. A lot of people just aren't ready for marriage, Apostle. You know, the reality
yeah.
is to be married denotes that you have to be a person that is willing to cleave to another. That means like a gluing. I know so
mm-hmm.
many people that are married to be like, I just want my space. I just wish he would go on somewhere. Honey, I'm going to give you this, give you that, or the other. And I've heard major leaders say this in their pulpits that are recorded on YouTube and everything, you know, Facebook
mm-hmm.
Live, literally saying, I give my wife this, that, and the other, send her on a trip so she can get away from me, so I can get away from her. I'm not from that school, so I don't understand that. I'm not saying that you don't get any personal time, but this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He says the married care for the things of their mate, how they might please them.
Uh-oh.
So I understand you want your personal time and your private time, but what happens to unity in that situation? What happens to coming into a place where you're worshiping together? That's the dynamic now. You know, people don't understand the dynamic on both sides of that fence, so we make it seem like if you're not single, then now you're married. That's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The
mm-hmm.
dynamic just changed. Yeah, you may not have as much personal time to fast as you used to unless you have a mate that understands the fast and they'll go on the fast with you. But see, that's the point of seeking the Lord before you enter into these kinds of contracts, enter into these kinds
yes.
of relationships. Because the Father knows who you need. He knows where he's taking you, and he knows the man, what you need to birth your vision, to carry in their womb, you know, everything that you are and to birth that. And he knows, woman, the security that you need to be everything you need to be.
Right.
Out of context, you're just going to wind up with somebody and be frustrated because you're like, I know I heard the Lord tell me to fast, but this Negro want to have sex, and I, you know, I feel like God is calling me away for a couple of days, and he don't want to do that. Guess what? You got to honor
mm-hmm.
that because your body don't belong to you. And it don't just belong to the Lord when you're married. Uh-uh.
Exactly. And
that.
I'm glad you just said
okay.
that. No, you're right, Apostle, because that was actually what I was getting ready to get on next. When you take
mm-hmm.
sex out of context, taking sex out of context will even take that wrong, too. You know, I've
Absolutely.
Heard many stories and many situations where either spouse, the husband or the wife, is trying to fast and seek the Lord, and the spouse is like, okay, well, I'll fast, but you still got to give me some. You still got to honor
right,
your duty. That's taking sex
right.
out of context, because when you look
right.
at the Bible, if y'all going to be apart for an agreed upon time, you can't agree to do the fast but then still want them to have sex with you. That's
right.
That's crazy. But that's taking
right.
your body is not your own. You know, I have, that's mine. That is taking sex out of context by taking scripture out of context. Because you're really
right.
abusing scripture at that point. Or we can do the fast as long as I can still get some sex. I mean, well, then you're still in your flesh. Let's be honest.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you can't go
if
with
the point
three
is
days,
to come away, right. If
right.
the point is to come away, we're not coming away if we're coming into something. But here's the thing, though. Biblically, they're
mm-hmm.
sound, though. It's their right.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's why it's important for you to understand who it is that is for you. Not just be so open to just connect. These are things that you got to think about. You got to think about what kind
right.
of kids you're going to birth. You know, what kind of person you're going to be dealing with when it's time for consecration. Does this nigga just love to eat? You know what I'm saying? And he ain't even trust.
Right.
You got to think about all of that. Does he have a stop button? Does he have a no button? Does he have a hold up button? I mean, you got to know all of that. You got to get past the representative and get to the CEO of his company, the CEO of who he is. Because everybody can let you see the representative in a relationship. That's usually the first person you meet anyway. Very rarely do you meet the CEO when you're coming into contact with somebody. I think women are more inclined to be CEOs in a relationship. Matter of fact, I think I talk too much. I just want to be real with people. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to pull back
yeah.
because I'm saying I just want to be real with people. This is who I am. I'm giving this up front. I'm telling you this right now, you know, so it won't be no question later. You know, and I think men
mm-hmm.
are more inclined to let you see the representative before the CEO because, you know, we all have these different experiences from our past, from our childhood, from former relationships, and we're all trying to figure out what's going to be the best role to play in to get what we want or to get where we want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't believe you should have passion without purpose. I think that the Word of God clearly details in the Song of Solomon, not to wake love till it's time. I think that's invaluable counsel. That's for every man out there. Y'all leave these women alone
mm-hmm.
till you ready to do something. You know what I'm saying? Why are you talking to her like
yes.
that? Why are you doing all of that? If you don't know that that's your mate, if you don't know that you want to be with her, and men are not confused. To this day, I do not believe that men are confused about anything. I know when a man sees his wife, he knows her. It's throughout the scripture. I've seen it over and
yes.
over in life. You know, so we don't have to teach people to date and do all of that. Teach the people the word. Teach them the right thing to do so they can avoid the traps. The traps that the
exactly.
world has set for their demise.
Oh, my
yes.
God, Apostle. You just said
talk
something right there. Because people get
yes.
mad at me. But the reality is you don't need to date. You know, when I was
yes.
younger and I was told, okay, well, you know, you're 16, you can start dating. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I guess I'll get a boyfriend because I can. But to be honest, there
mm-hmm.
was no new other teaching or education. So, you know, a couple
mm-hmm.
years after that, after some broken relationships and some hurt and disappointment, I sat back and started thinking for a while, you know, this is when I came into the Lord. I'm like, okay, well, what is the purpose of this?
Right.
And I really couldn't find an answer. So I'm like, okay, if there's no purpose, then why do this?
Then what am I doing?
People look at me like
I'm
crazy.
Why am I spending this energy? Right.
Right. They look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them I never dated my husband. We were in friends.
Mm-mm.
We were friends. We did ministry together, and then he asked me to marry.
Mm-hmm.
We did not date.
Period.
Because
end of story.
The reality is all these people claim, you know, and I go on a rant with this. These people call, I hear from God. You know, I can tell you your
mm-hmm.
last name and your address, but then you don't know who your spouse is. Then
come
what
on.
Is the issue
That's what
there?
I'm saying, Apostle. Use your anointing for the right things. A spouse, that matters. That could make you or break you. Are you serious? You're speaking
exactly.
in 12,000 languages. You know what I'm saying? Giving your body to be burned and all of that and picking the wrong mates and jacking your whole life up. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying?
And
get a clue.
Yes. And when you do that.
Because, you know, the reality is
this.
Go ahead, woman again.
When you do that, you can start having mature calm. That's where you can have mature conversations about sex without getting hot and bothered because
Absolutely.
You're not married yet.
Absolutely.
You can sit down.
That's right.
And so, because, you know, if you're going to marry somebody, you need to make sure y'all are
you
on the same page.
You need to know
page, okay? What is a deal breaker, going back to that? What's comfortable? What's going to be acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you can
mm-hmm.
go research out some godly teachings and trainings. You can go research out some godly material that will tell you what you need to know about sex and context, both biblically as well as scientifically. There is clean
Absolutely.
Understanding you can find out there without the raunchy, perverted stuff in it. But we just don't do
and
no
you can
research.
Go,
we just
listen,
go off of what we always knew.
We just go off of what we've heard, what we've seen, and the things we've been exposed to that were ungodly from the jump, okay? I always
yeah.
ask people, where'd you get that from? If you identify where you got it from, you know whether it's God or not. You know what I'm saying? You sitting up trying to justify porn, where'd you learn that from? Where'd you learn
right.
that from? Okay, it had no God context at all. It ain't God. It's filthy. It's not cool. I don't care if y'all want to sit there and watch it together. Who's going to sit there and watch somebody else's engagement? First of all, these people that you're watching being engaged, they're not married. So are you promoting fornication? Are you saying, I mean, you know, it's all of these different vantage points, and people want to get sticky about these things and act like they want to have an attitude, well, my bedroom is my business. You're a lie. Your bedroom is God's business, especially if you're calling yourself of the kingdom of God. Your bedroom is his business. So if you want some clean, good information that's going to send you on the right path, that's going to be biblical, I'm sure Apostle Jasmine and her husband have some stuff, but you can go right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on this station, and I can piss you clean off and bring you into your right place. You could go ahead and repent and turn around and go back the other direction, because you're going to have to repent from some stuff if you listen to some of this stuff. You're going to have to repent, and you're going to have to move past that, because the reality is God did create a context for the marriage bed. He created a context for sexual pleasure. He created a context for that. And because people go outside of that context, there are deal breakers that shouldn't be deal breakers.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get into the deal breakers for men tonight. I'm not going to get into the deal breakers. I want to say this. You know, a lot of people don't understand, Apostle, that they're dealing in low-frequency thought processing. You know, Paul says this to the Corinthians. He said, listen, you're behaving like mere men. You know, that's a powerful statement. I would really like to talk to you and have some really decent conversations with you guys about some things. But because you're so carnal, and there's no such thing as a carnal Christian, by the way. I just wanted to let y'all know that there's no such thing. You're carnal. You're fleshly. He didn't say you're a carnal Christian. You're a carnal believer. He said, no, you're carnal. You are not spiritual. You don't even understand spiritual things. That's why I can't give it to you, because you'll choke on it. He said you are yet carnal. And when you are stuck in that place, your frequency is low. I want to remind you, when you reduce something to a sexual object, you don't understand the truth of the virtue and the value that's in that thing. Men, you got to be careful. When you're dealing with these women, you got to be careful. You don't know what's in that woman, what keys she holds to unlock your future. You have no clue. If you reduce her to a piece of meat, if you reduce her to sexual pleasure, you could miss everything God wants to do in your life before you even get to that place. You could actually just miss the whole boat. You understand what I'm saying? Look at Adam in the garden when he's there with the animals before his woman comes on the scene. Before the woman shows up, he's not even attracted to the animals. And the Bible says this, that there was not one comparable or suitable to help him. He didn't have any suitable help, no comparable help, because none of that was on his level. So if those animals are not on our level, then why would we use the animal frequency to function in human relationships? Oh, God.
There it is. There it is.
Whoop, there it is. I'm just saying. Why would we do that? Because the thing that separates us from them is a lot of things, but one of the things that separates us from them is that we have a capacity for thought. We have a capacity to process things. And when I'm a child, I might think as a child, I might understand as a child, but when I'm a man, when I'm a woman, I got to put away the childish things, because those things are no longer beneficial for me. When a baby is crying for a bottle, that's because they don't have the capacity or the vernacular to be able to communicate, hey, go get me a bottle.
Right.
They're doing, in the stage that they're in, what they're capable of, knowing that you have the capability to understand if they're thirsty, they're hungry, or they're wet. But when you're grown, that's not the way to communicate. I'm just saying. Apostle, tell these people you love them. We got like 60 seconds. I appreciate y'all.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this Sex in Context Part 2. But we love you all. We thank you all for joining. We definitely continue to pray for us. If you haven't already, make sure you go follow us. Find us on Facebook with Crystal Lee and Jasmine Blair. You can also look us up on Periscope. And definitely you can stay in touch that way and stay tuned for more teachings like this and many, many other things. And definitely,
absolutely,
if you want to be a blessing, you can go to the website. Tell them your website, Apostle.
Well, you can definitely go to PayPal. Rock Mogul Ministries. Rock Mogul Ministries. Yeah. Or hit me on Facebook at Apostle Crystal Lee, KRISTAL, and you can sow your seed there. We love you. We appreciate you. Till the next time, you're blessed, and don't forget it.